Connie. Thank you.
Okay. It happened that Luke 17:11-19. It happened that as he made his way toward Jerusalem, he crossed over the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 people, all lepers, met him. They kept their distance, but raised their voices, calling out, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." Taking a good look at them, he said, "Go, show yourselves to the priests." They went, and while still on their way, became clean. One of them, when he realized that he was healed, turned around and came back, shouting his gratitude, glorifying God. He kneeled at Jesus' feet, so grateful. He couldn't thank him enough, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus said, "Were not 10 healed? Where are the 9? Can none be found to come back and give glory to God except this outsider?" Then he said to them, "Get up on your way. Your faith has healed and saved you."
Amen. May God bless that reading as well as your hearing. It is God's holy word. Well, yes, they all had leprosy. Literally dying by inches. Leprosy is a curse of the nerves that affect the skin. What begins as sores ends up as holes, exposing joints and bones. Ears swell up, hang down, noses may disappear altogether, and tongues become thick and cracked. As outcasts of society, they were required by law to keep their faces covered and their hair uncombed, warning people to keep a distance by crying out, "Unclean, unclean." And anything they touched or any house they entered was automatically pronounced unfit for others until it was cleansed by a special ritual. If they did go to the synagogue, they had to sit in a very special, isolated place. The rabbis taught that leprosy was a punishment from God for some terrible sin. The marks of their sickness were like big signs reading, "Here walks the scum of the earth," eliciting a scornful response. It was their common misery that brought them together. 9 Jews and 1 Samaritan, sort of breaking down all the racial and religious barriers of hate and mistrust between the two countries. But in their common tragedy, they were no longer two groups not allowed to associate with each other. They were only people, afflicted and in need. That's a marvelous image of God's church. They shared another thing, though, hope and trust in Jesus. See, they all went to him, standing at the prescribed distance of 50 yards, shouting and hand, keeping their hands over their mouths, "Jesus, Master, please help us." Jesus stopped, yet still kept his distance. He was filled with compassion, yet he still kept to the law and told them, "Go, let the priest examine you," so they could officially be declared clean and healthy. They stood there for just a moment, trying to understand what he wanted them to do until it suddenly hit them. So they turning then to follow his instruction, as they were on their way, their skin began to change. The texture and the shape of their fingers and toes, their lips and ears, and even their eyelids started to readjust. The sick colors began to fade and their bodies started to glow, shining with a newly acquired tautness. On their way, they were healed and they became clean and whole. And at that point, they began to run full of joy and excitement, just faster and faster toward the temple. Arriving all out of breath, they presented themselves to the priestly board of health. Yet in that race, one stopped, turned, and began to run in the opposite direction because he suddenly realized he couldn't go to their priest. He wouldn't be welcome in their temple. He would be scorned. So he stopped. He turned and ran back to Jesus, praising God, and threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked God for his new life, for salvation. And Jesus looked at him and remarked, "Well, 10 were healed. Where are the other 9? Are you, a Samaritan, the only one who's come back to thank God?" It makes me wonder. To him alone, Jesus extended his hand and said, "Stand up. Go. Your faith has made you well." And of the 10 healed, did only that one discover new life? Did only that one experience salvation? What about the other 9? Well, one was frightened. He was just not able to understand what had happened. Suddenly, to be healed from an illness that you'd endured most of your life, for which there is no cure, a condition of complete isolation from family and society and friends. What would it be like to suddenly be able to interact with others and touched again after such a long time, and to touch others, to invade another's personal space and extend your hand for a handshake or your arms for a hug? To have his life change so dramatically was frightening. So he went to find a place to hide. What if our congregation could provide healing to every member to feel safe and secure, able to trust everyone else without any fear of rejection or being labeled or ridiculed or discredited? What if every member was able to extend his or her hand and heart in welcome and receive a caring touch, a warm handshake, or a loving hug in return? What if every person experienced this unconditional acceptance, encouragement, and support when they dared to share their thoughts and feelings, their gifts and talents, skills and abilities? Well, the second leper was... Well, he was offended, you see, because he hadn't been required to do anything difficult. It was just all too easy. I mean, he had expected months or even years of prayer and fasting and washing and righteous living to be required. He expected he would have to earn his healing with obedience and good works, prove he was worthy of being healed. And he hadn't been required to do any of those things. His motto had always been, "You get what you pay for." And his healing was just too easy. In a way, Jesus offered him cheap grace. You know, it does take a certain kind of person with a positive perspective to accept God's grace in our lives, and not to pass judgment on what is or is not required to be a member of God's family, to experience God's grace and love, and not be offended at the simplicity of receiving salvation, the transforming power of the Holy Spirit at work in our midst. The third leper realized much too late he didn't really want to be healed. He didn't know how to live or even who he was without his leprosy. His leprosy had been so much a part of him for so long. He had become the disease. It explained who he was, so it wasn't until after he was healed that he realized how much he needed his illness because, well, it defined who he was. Jesus took away his identity. You know, I've been in congregations when the Holy Spirit actually began to transform the life of the congregation to bring healing and wholeness and create an atmosphere of acceptance and encouragement and support. Yet still, there were some leaders who began to withdraw, angry at losing their influence. Their ability to keep things as they had always been. It truly is a gift from God when we allow the Holy Spirit to transform who we are, clarify our new identity, and help us become a safe place for others to seek and learn and grow in a relationship with Jesus Christ. Well, it's difficult to explain why the fourth leper didn't return to give thanks. In his delirium and joy, he just simply forgot. I mean, can we imagine being filled with such unbounded joy where every experience of worship or in a meeting of a ministry team leaves people laughing as they depart? Can we even imagine a congregation where people look forward to being together, no matter what they do, whether it's worship or wash dishes? A congregation that is so positive and warm, every word of acceptance and encouragement and support fills all the folks with hope for their future and thankfulness for all their present blessings. The fifth leper, well, he just wasn't able to say thank you to anyone anymore. See, something happens when a person always has to beg and be shunned by society and is grudgingly thrown a few coins and is always expected to be thankful and grateful. And this leper just couldn't do it anymore. Not even for Jesus. It was that expectation of always having to be thankful that had been so much a part of his life for so long, it just no longer had any meaning. It was an empty exercise of words, a constant source of grief or anger, a painful reminder he was different. He was an outcast with no value or worth. He deserves no respect. And that necessity of constantly having to say thank you for every morsel of food and every drop of water resulted in the loss of his self-respect. He could simply no longer repeat the words that brought him such shame and guilt, grief and depression. His inability to say thank you was, well, it was his only means of maintaining a small amount of control over his life. Well, what if this congregation became a safe place for outcasts to come, to seek, to learn, and grow in Jesus Christ? How could we develop caring, compassionate sensitivity to those who reside outside the walls of this building. How could we learn to express kindness and understanding toward those who've really never, ever experienced the love and the grace and the forgiveness of God? The sixth leper was a mother, separated from her husband and children for 11 long years. She didn't return to give thanks because, well, she was in such a hurry to get home, be part of their lives again. And what would it be like to finally get to go home after 11 years of living with people who were constantly depressed and dirty, smelly, angry? To go home to your children, your own kitchen, your sleep in your own bed? Memories and questions flooded her mind. Did they still care about her? What had happened in their lives? What did they look like now? Who had they become? Like a wild animal just released from captivity, Jesus had truly set her free. What if we became a safe place for those who are estranged from their families to seek and learn and grow in Jesus Christ? How could we welcome back folks who've been away with radical acceptance and encouragement and support in their desire to reconnect and grow in a relationship with God? The seventh leper, he didn't believe Jesus had anything at all to do with his healing. I mean, he knew he'd been healed, but he just didn't know why or how. He didn't believe in any kind of hocus-pocus magic or miracle. I mean, there had to be a logical, reasonable, rational explanation for what had happened. But whatever it was, it didn't have anything to do with Jesus. The seventh leper didn't return to give thanks because, well, he just didn't believe Jesus had done anything for him. Again, I've been in congregations that refused to acknowledge anything positive that happened had anything at all to do with God. Anything positive which occurred was simply because of something they had done. They were so reluctant to allow the Holy Spirit to be active in their midst. I wondered if the presence of the Holy Spirit was so threatening, it was just easier to be a social club that only allowed people with similar values and economic status and family backgrounds and educational levels to be members. But what if we became a safe place where those without faith could truly seek and learn and come to know God? What if we welcomed the presence of the Holy Spirit and allowed God to transform us into that congregation that God has already envisioned we can become? How could we be more open to the work of the Holy Spirit to minister to us and our life together? The eighth leper, he didn't return because, well, he did believe Jesus had everything to do with his healing. He believed that the kingdom of God had finally arrived. So to return and give thanks when the kingdom of God was already present was just a crazy waste of time and energy. Rather than return to give thanks, he ran to share his joyful news. When we begin to believe everything positive that happens comes from God's hand, we are eager to run and tell others what God is doing in our midst, to tell others that Trinity UCC is a safe place to seek and to learn and to grow and come to know God. How can we be more eager to reach out, to encourage and support every person who ventures to come through our doors? What can I say about the ninth leper? Why didn't he return? Well, I don't know. He showed himself to the priest and was immediately cleansed, and he stood for a long moment and slowly smiled. And the priest said that that ninth leper gave two utterances. First, he said, "So," and then, "Ah, yes." And then he turned and walked away. His eyes blazed with fire. Yet his shoulders sagged as if under a heavy burden. The air around him was silent, and then, without warning, he suddenly turned his head and fixed his eyes upon a rock and screamed, "Ha!" Now make of this what you will. The priest said that rock jumped a foot off the ground. Then the ninth leper said, "So, yes," and then disappeared from sight. It really is impossible to say why he didn't return to give thanks. Yes, 10 were healed, and only one returned to give thanks. So where are those other 9? Can you see it in his eyes? He knows where they are. He's known all along. Without another word, Jesus walked away. His eyes blazed with fire. His shoulders sagged as if under a great burden. And the air around him was silent. And then, without warning, he turned and he screamed, "Ha!" You know, make of this what you will. But they say a rock jumped a foot off the ground. And then Jesus said, "So, yes," and disappeared from sight. It's impossible to say why Jesus didn't return this time to give thanks. Amen. Amen. Let's turn our thoughts to prayer.